Welcome to Just Bible Ministry Fellowship Broadcast. This is Mark Cooper, your host, and what an honor it is today to use the technology to teach the Word of God through the worldwide net and to teach worldwide through the internet. May God receive the glory for whatever happens during this broadcast, and we pray that He gets the glory. Today our topic is going to be on fellowship, a term created by Just Bible Ministries to define the Bible teaching arm of the ministry. We will spend a short period of time talking about this and explaining the origin and how it came about and why we call it fellowship. Just Bible Ministries is a vision is to love God, love people, make disciples, and be His witness. These are biblical principles that we put into action by helping people in need with physical projects through spiritual fellowship, which is what we will define. We physically support our worldwide partners who are pastors and ministry directors in other parts of the world, with the end result for them to have a better opportunity to preach the Word and to teach the Word of God. So as an example of what we do, I'm going to play a short song to start us off. And this song is from a children's choir in Kampala, Uganda. Last year, I had the opportunity to spend time in Kampala, Uganda. And Just Bible Ministries completed a project with Courageous Children Choir and to help them cut a CD. They now use this CD to, one, promote the gospel, and to, two, they raise funds from the sales to fund their orphanage that they all live in. And while I was in Uganda, I visited these wonderful children and recorded them singing this song. It starts off with James, who's their director. He's introducing the meaning of the song. So here it is, and I'm going to let James tell you what it's about.
This song is "There Is No One Like Jesus." Since most of the time, for a long time, people in Uganda have that version, and in our previous concert, we were supposed to sing the same song. We chose to do something different, and we came up with something from South Africa. And in the Zulu language, they say, "Akeko ofanano Jesu," to mean, "There is no one like Jesus." Enjoy.
There's no one like Jesus. Regardless of what language you sing it in, there's no one like Jesus. This is Jesus, the Son of God, who came and lived on this earth. And He lived on this earth, He lived sinlessly. And what He did was He died on the cross. And when He died on the cross, He bore our sins. He took our sins, not only from a physical death, but He endured the separation of God the Father. And because He did that, we are reconciled back to God the Father. We are back in a relationship with Him. He was buried and He rose again. And now he sits at the right hand of God. He's your advocate. He's the one that says you're okay. And he sends his Holy Spirit to live in your life. That Jesus, when he was on the earth, when he walked on the earth, what he did was he approached people to be his disciples. His invitation was consistent. He would say, follow me. The rich young ruler who had everything, but what he wanted was to know how to enter into the kingdom of God, how to get into the kingdom of God. And Jesus looked at him and said, go and sell everything, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Peter and Andrew in Matthew 4:19, Jesus comes to them and says, I will make you fishers of men. Give up your work and come follow me. Matthew 8:22, there was a man who wanted to go bury his father before he would follow Jesus. And Jesus says, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Matthew 9:9. Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus came to him and said, come follow me and give up tax collecting. Matthew 10:38. He instructs his disciples and he says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. John 8:12. Jesus is now talking to the Pharisees and he says that I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life. John 10:27. He says to the Jews in the temple, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. He gave invitations to everyone, whether they were Sadducees, Pharisees, leaders in the temple, in the synagogue, whether they were fishermen, whether they were tax collectors, or whether they were rich people, he said, come and follow me. Peter accepted this invitation. He accepted it, he laid down his nets, and he followed Jesus for 3 years. For 3 years he followed Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross. We pick this story up in John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and in the first part of that chapter, it talks about Peter, after Jesus is dead, he decides to go back to work. He goes back to fishing, and he takes some disciples with him. And they're out in the boat fishing all night long, but they catch nothing. And when they're coming back to shore, they see someone on the shore with a fire cooking breakfast. And that someone, which we know is Jesus, hollers out to him and say, hey, children, have you caught anything? Very interesting terms that he uses, children. They look back at him and say, no, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. And Jesus, in his way, in his very unique way, and how he will challenge the norm, how he will challenge the status quo, he will status the peer pressure. He says, let your nets down on the other side of the boat. That was contrary to the way they normally fished. He says, put your nets down on the right side of the boat. And when they did, they caught an abundance of fish. So much so that they had a hard time getting them back to shore. 153 fish. To fast forward the story, Peter jumps in the lake and runs to meet Jesus. And they recognize that it was Jesus after that miracle. We pick the story up in verse 15 of chapter 21. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Simon said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because that he said for a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Truly I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and somebody else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now he said this, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, and the one who had leaned back in the bosom at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is it to you? You follow me." At the beginning of Peter's discipleship, Jesus says, "Follow me." At the time of Peter's independence, Jesus says, "Follow me." This is the message that Jesus gives, and he directs those who believe and those who are the believers of Christ, those who are the Christians. Jesus says, "Follow me." As believers, we are to follow him and show others how to follow him. We are to feed his people. We are to guide his people and teach them the word and teach them the truth. We are to direct people to seek the Lord's guidance and direction. We are to show people how to learn the Lord's truth. We are to point people towards the Lord. We are to influence people to live their lives for the one true leader. And this is the genesis, and this is the beginning, and this is the development of fellowship. It's a term that we defined. And how we define it is influence others to follow the Lord. Influencing others to follow the Lord. That's our mission. However, our world is completely contrary to that. Our culture presents itself that you are to be a leader. It promotes leadership. Thousands of books have been written, formulas have been developed, businesses have been built, seminars have been generated. People have been given tools and actions of how to become a great leader. Don't get me wrong, as these ideas are good and the thoughts are good on how to conduct ourselves. The challenge is understanding the concept and understanding the mindset of leadership and how it fits into God's design for humanity and how it lines up with God's desire for humanity to recognize him as Lord and to worship him only. So if we take a look at Webster, we want to define this word. You look up the word leadership in the dictionary, it takes you back to the root word, which is lead. The definition of lead is to be first. Taking that root and applying it to leadership, really what the concept of the term leadership means is to be firstship. I just generated that term to prove a point. Our culture's economy is to use the term leadership, and it subliminally indicates that everyone should strive to be first. As humans, our instilled natural default is to be first. Temptation of Adam and Eve was to directly challenge God's sovereign position and entice them to take control of their own destiny. Did God really say you would die? He just wanted you to be ignorant and not know the same thing he does. You know, those are my paraphrase, but that's what Satan tempted Adam and Eve with. The natural human passion is to be in charge, to know everything, to elevate ourselves above everyone, up to and including God. By definition, this is what the world calls leadership. As humans, we fight with every fiber of our character to resist being a follower. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, "I want to aspire to be a follower." but we want to aspire to be a leader. We want firstship. You know, Jesus provides a very clear warning about striving for this leadership. After he silences the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes in Matthew 22, he turns to those who are following him, to his disciples. In Matthew 23, 1 through 12, he says this. He sits down his disciples and says, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move just a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. They broaden their philanthropies. They lengthen the tassels of their garments. And they love the place of honor at the banquets and the chief seats in the synagogue. And they respect greetings in the marketplace and being called by men rabbi." And here's the warning. "But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself must be humbled, and whoever humbles himself must be exalted." See, the scribes and the Pharisees, they elevated themselves to a position of authority. They turned the position of communicating God's statutes, ordinances, and laws into a profit-gaining leadership profession. Jesus tells his people, don't do what the scribes and the Pharisees do. Don't be called a leader. The world economy is leadership. God's economy is followership. God's economy is different. It's different than the world's economy. Jesus says, don't be like the world. Jesus warns in Matthew, do not strive to be like the officials who elevated themselves, but the position of a leader. God's economy for us is to dedicate our lives following the Lord, influencing people, and follow him. See, James and John had an argument, and they wanted to know who was going to sit next to Jesus. And Jesus' response was, the first is going to be last, and the last will be first. But the world says, be first. The world says to lead, to be first, to strive for leadership, which is firstship. It's in direct contrast with what the Bible teaches us. And this is a challenge. This is a cultural change, and it's a tension that we live in, because we do have responsibilities. We have responsibilities to manage. We have responsibility to make decisions. But what Jesus says is, follow me. The question is, what does this followership look like? And just like we strive to do, is to teach the Bible and only the Bible. That's where we get the fellowship and understanding how to do it. We live in a time when we have the Word of God. We have the fullness of the Word of God for us to study. It's immersion into this book, into the Bible, learning from it daily, studying it, and integrating our lives into it. Matthew 11:29, it documents and says that Jesus tells us to take up his yoke, it's his teachings, and to learn from him. Following him is easier than trying to memorize how to be a great leader in all the different seminars and books and everything else that's out there. Following him is the direction that he wants us to go. His word teaches us. It guides us. We need to seek its counsel and its wisdom. In the book of James, chapter 1, it says that if we lack wisdom, that we are to ask for it. And then what Jesus does and what God does is sends the Holy Spirit into our lives. And that Holy Spirit is the one who directs us and guides us. It's those thoughts. It's other believers who we talk with that encourage us, that help us with the directions we need to go in our life. That's how he functions. That's how he uses the Holy Spirit today. That's how he guides us today. We need to know his heart. We need to know his rules. We need to seek his kingdom. And then what we need to do is turn this around and influence others to encounter and to see and to seek what the Lord has for us, to seek his guidance and to follow him. And Just Bibles Ministries, is the sole function is to show people how to follow the Lord, to give them the tools to promote him and to promote him alone, to let people know what Christ did for them and who they are in Christ and who they are in God the Father as sons and daughters of his, as royalty, having an inheritance, being a queen and a king and a prince and a princess in God's kingdom. And that's who we are. That's what Just Bible Ministries is. That's what fellowship is to share what God does, who you are, and to influence people to follow him. Thank you for your attention. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at markcooper@justbibleministries, or you can find out more on our website, justbibleministries.org, to talk about or to see what we're doing around the world, what our projects are, and join us in those projects. And for continual updates, go to our Facebook webpage. It's www.facebook.com/justbibleministries.org, or Twitter, twitter.com/justbiblemen. We keep those up to date on the activities that we're doing around the world. So pay attention to those and get to know what we're doing and how our partners are functioning in different parts of the world. Join us again next Thursday as we examine what the Word of God has for us. Until next time, this is Just Bible Ministries, one project impacting many people through fellowship.